All right. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com. I wanted to talk about deconstruction. Deconstruction is a term that I ran into quite a bit many years ago in grad school. And it's a way of, you deconstruct society, you deconstruct the language, you deconstruct the narrative, and you rip it apart and you show it for what it is, supposedly. And I don't mind at all the tactics. I don't mind the techniques at all. I do mind the intent and the purpose. And I want to talk about, you know, why you do this and how you do this and what the church ought to do with it. So one can talk about society, and then one can talk about, say, well, you know, what do you mean by society? What does that actually mean? And say, oh, well, you know, society. And it's like, no, you mean your patriarchal system of control? And then they begin to deconstruct it. Well, you talk about family. Well, what do you mean about family? Oh, you mean a mother that's subservient to the husband who breeds and has all these children and can't go out and make her own money? And so they go through this pattern and they deconstruct it. What about a nation? Well, it's our nation. It's our country. What do you mean, a country? It's land that was not yours, and then somebody took it, and you've got a group of people together, and you have this, you imagine a community? Benedict Anderson was good at that. He had a book called Imagine Communities, and that was required reading in grad school, and I appreciate that. The funny thing is, I appreciate a lot of these oh, I don't know. Marxist is probably not the right term for it, but it probably is. Gramsci, Foucault, Benedict Anderson, and on feminist authors. Because they really get to the core of language and philosophy. But they do it with the wrong motives, and they come up with the wrong ends. And I've always said that Jesus Christ, there's a reason he's called the Word of God. He's called the Word of God. Why is that? It's because language is central to the human experience. Language is central to the our intellectual endeavors. In fact, language exists before we can have an intellectual endeavor. Without language, we can't explore anything intellectually. It's just grunts and emotion. So language is a precursor to intellectual thought, rational thought, logical thought. Language produces rationally. Language produces logic. Mathematics is a type of language, and there's many different types of numbered languages. Not only binary and base 10 and base 8, but there's arithmetic and mathematics and calculus and geometry and trigonometry. And all of these add different flavors and ways of understanding. You cannot do higher math unless you have a language first. So all these things are important. So this is why Jesus Christ is the Word. He's the nexus between the finite and the infinite, between knowledge and ignorance, between God and man. And not only is he representative, but he's creative. And if you go to grad school and you study all this stuff, you'll find that words are, you know, there's not necessarily directly a one-to-one correlation between a word and a thing. But it's actually the words create things. And no greater example of that can be found in the term love, which is a very weak term in the English language, but much more powerful in the Greek, where there's five different words for love. In any respect, they take this, oh, we'll call it an edifice. They take this system. They take this, they take Western civilization, but that's not the right term. They take Christendom and they deconstruct it. They take the nations of Christendom and deconstruct it and say, you're not a nation, you're not a man, you're not a woman. All this religion is just hokey. And they're very, very good at destroying. And I've said this for many, many decades. Marxists are excellent at destroying, whether it's the material world or the intellectual world. They're wonderful at destroying, but they can't build. They cannot build because you cannot build except upon a rock. And they build the kingdom of Satan because you tear down Christendom, tear down the narrative of the Bible. There's only one thing left to build. That's the kingdom of Satan. So I'd like Christians to understand that. I'd like pastors to understand that. Human beings are creatures of faith. Even the most hardcore atheist out there is a creature of faith because you can't, Even if you rely upon the atheists themselves, they'll tell you can't begin thought without language. And language itself is normative. And there's no escaping this. This is why mankind are finite. You can't escape this. And so the best they can do is, and I've read the feminist authors that said, there is no truth. We're not seeking truth. There is no truth. We're seeking power. And so they create narratives that empower themselves. And if you understand this, you just simply accept that and flip it. So yeah, you're right. It's creating a narrative that it's a power narrative. And Holy Scriptures are no different. It's a power narrative where Jesus Christ is at the center. He's the cornerstone of all power, as he is the creator. But it also happens to be that the narrative offered by Jesus Christ frees mankind, offers him liberty in Jesus Christ, in the Spirit of the Lord. And you can whine and complain all you want and accuse Jesus Christ of being insane and having a demon. We don't say have a demon these days. We call them racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, and the unforgivable sin, anti-Semitic. But those themselves are mental prisons, the mental prisons that Foucault talked about. Those themselves are the chains that bind. Those themselves are the structures and the edifices that we are trying to rebuild society upon, that the Antichrist is rebuilding society on, and the church has gobbled up so much of it. And it's those words and terms that we need to deconstruct today. Rip them apart. Well, what's wrong to be xenophobic? Why? Why? Are you telling me Jesus Christ is wrong when he says he has a holy nation? When it says in the Revelation that you've got the holy Jerusalem, but outside are the dogs, Jesus Christ is guilty of a sin because he's xenophobic? So the church and the pastors have to learn how to deconstruct the Antichrist narrative. Do exactly what the Antichrist did to Christendom, and the church ought to do that to the Antichrist kingdom. Oh, you can't be sexist. Why? Why not? What do you mean? Where does it say thou shalt not be sexist in the Holy Scriptures? Was not Adam created first? How many females does Jesus Christ appoint to be apostles? Oh, well, that's sexist. Maybe your term is wrong. Maybe you ought to bury that term in the ground. When pastors submit to that, they submit to slavery to the Antichrist. That's what's going on. And then their congregation submits to slavery to the Antichrist. Well, it's not fair. Fair is a term that people use to impose guilt upon others in order to get something that they don't have that the other person has. That's all fair is. It's a term of guilt manipulation. Well, that's not fair. That's a term of guilt manipulation, where you're using that term to leverage somebody into giving something that they have that you want that you don't have, with guilt manipulation. Pastors, you got to get this. Christians, you got to get this. Oh, you know, he's transphobic. Why is that wrong? Why is that wrong? Didn't you know that God made a male and a female? And that's it? Mammals only reproduced via heterosexual activities? That homosexual activities only result in biological and genetic death? Why can't the church deconstruct that? We don't have a choice. We have to do this. We're going to build Christian nations. This is the foundation of it. There is an intellectual and philosophical core to a Christian nation. And the church, unfortunately, has just retreated and retreated and retreated. And we stay in the sandbox that the Antichrist has given us, so we don't talk about these things. How dare we question the Antichrist narrative, the Antichrist tells us. You're racist, you're sexist, you're homophobic, you're queerphobic, you're intolerant, you're divisive. Well, anytime you get these terms pointed at you, who are the intolerant ones? It's them. Who are the haters? It's them. They are just like their fathers, the Pharisees. Hypocrites. 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 Well, you're not very tolerant. When somebody calls you these terms, they're the ones spreading hate. They're the ones demonizing people. Okay, this is what the church has to do. This is what pastors have to do. Deconstruct these things. Well, it's wrong to be racist. Really? Don't you know your salvation is based on the blood of Jesus Christ? And outside his blood, there's no salvation? We're not all children of Abraham. We're not all children of God. There's a seed of the serpent and there's a seed of the woman. Well, that sounds divisive. Yeah, it is. It is. It is divisive. Jesus Christ said, "Hey, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword and a fire. And my God, how I wish it was already kindled," said Jesus Christ. From whence do you get your narrative? Is it from the spirit of Jesus Christ, from the words of Jesus Christ, from the narrative of Jesus Christ, which is the Genesis through the Revelation? Or if you layered your man-made traditions over the Word of God and said, well, we believe in the Word of God except when it's racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, or anti-Semitic. And so you've gone the way of the Talmud people. You've gone the way of the Talmud people. There's so many people that call themselves Jews, yet are not, and they are liars, but they're of the synagogue of Satan. Oh, you can't say that. That's anti-Semitic. I understand the persecution you're under from those who call themselves Jews but are not, but are liars and are of the synagogue of Satan, said Jesus Christ. When's the last time you heard that from a pulpit? And you have these Talmud people imposing man-made traditions upon, and I read these articles to you guys a few days ago. And these Talmud people go right down the road. They say, listen, all this New Testament, all the Greek scriptures, they're absolutely anti-Semitic. We either have to convince our brothers, our Christian brothers, to renounce them, erase them from their holy scriptures, or do what we did and to override them with our oral traditions. They're explicit about it. This is exactly what they say. Convince our Christian brothers to override what is written with their own oral traditions, which is what we did with the Law and the Prophets. That's what they say. They're explicit about it. And so I'm telling the church, I'm telling the Christians, this is what's going on in Judeo-Christianity. This is what's going on in the evangelical church today. Oh, we can't handle this. We can't accept this because it's racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, and especially of all it's anti-Semitic, because we all know that the people that rejected Jesus Christ are somehow the chosen people of God. And you just want to go, guys, 1 John 2:22, 2 John 7 through 11, John 8:44, Matthew 12:34, Matthew 23:33. Oh, we can't say that because it's going to offend the Antichrist people. And like, church, that's the problem. That's the problem. And there's a reason that Jesus Christ warned people not to be suckered by the leaven of the Pharisees. And this is it. This is where we're at. Straying, but it's all part and parcel of the topic. We have to be able to deconstruct what the Antichrist has done and the seed of the serpent and the brood of vipers has done. Whether they follow that specific tribe or not, whether they explicitly follow the Talmud or not, there's only two kingdoms. There's a kingdom of light and the kingdom. There's no third kingdom. There's no third kingdom in which we all get along in. It's Jesus Christ or the Antichrist. That's it. Antichrists are here. Antichrist people are here. All right, and there's, of which there's many Antichrists. John said there's many Antichrists, but there's an overarching pattern. There's a certain archetype that led the way on that, and that's the Talmud people. According to what I understand from the Holy Scriptures. But it long preceded them. Cain was of the evil one. Cain was of the evil one too. Cain was of the evil one. It goes all the way back. Nimrod was an original Antichrist. Nimrod was an original. If there was an original Antichrist, well, you had to go back at least to him. But you don't know this unless you get into the Holy Scriptures. And if you know this, and if the congregation understands the breadth and scopes of the Holy Scriptures from Genesis forward, you can deconstruct the Antichrist and the Antichrist narrative pretty easily. But if you don't, you're eternally trapped. And yes, you will offend the Pharisees, but they are blind guys that will fall into a pit, and anybody that follows them will fall into the pit as well. It's the same people, it's the same tactics, it's the same techniques, same procedures. Nothing has changed. But you need to embrace the first few chapters of Genesis. You need to embrace Leviticus, Exodus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. You need to embrace all of that. You need to embrace all of the scriptures, just like Jesus Christ did, and say, oh my God, this is really extreme. Fine. You know what's extreme? LGBTQ to grade school kids. That's extreme. So who's insane and has a demon? Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com. Talk to you again soon.